Ephesians chapter 6. Just going to look at one verse today. Boy, it's a blessing to have Mrs. Dunbar back on the violin. It's good to have her there. She's been out for way too long, and glad she's back. All right? That's a good thing. All right. Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. Look with us in verse 12. Just going to read one verse, and then we'll read numerous other verses during the message. And I hope you'll keep your Bible open, okay? I want to preach to you the Word of God. I believe that's what we need. We need the Word of God in this day. So Ephesians chapter 6, if you will, I want you to look in verse 12. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers," notice, "of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Amen. I want you to notice especially that phrase there that I mentioned especially. It says, "the darkness of this world." Now the darkness of this world is spiritual darkness, all right? It is spiritual darkness. It is a darkness that deepens each passing day. This old world gets darker spiritually all the time. Satan is having a field day. I mean, he's just going to it, working overtime. Because Bible truth, spiritual truth, if you will, is being put in the background. It's being pushed aside, pushed out and away from the daily affairs of life. And we're seeing more and more where I believe the world is getting to where we put things, and even unfortunately, I think people that name the name of Christ, they put things in two categories, the sacred and the secular. And the sacred part is being relegated to what is done inside a building for an hour or two on Sunday morning, and that's it. But I want you to know that's not the biblical picture of life. Amen. The biblical picture of life is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and 366 days a year in leap year. All of life is sacred, and everything about life is a sacred thing, all right? And it's to be governed by biblical truth. And it is the Bible that's to govern in the daily affairs of life. But it's not happening. That's being pushed aside. So what that means is the child of God is having to learn to live in darkness. We're having to learn to live in darkness. So that can be a real challenge, a very big challenge. The truth of the matter is many people, many of God's people, I think, have fallen because they've had trouble adjusting to the dark conditions. You say, how do you figure that, preacher? Well, there's people that give up, and they decide, well, it's getting dark, so the Bible must not be true, or it's not, God's not working anymore. And they sort of give up on God, and they quit, and they fall out along the way. Now, I want you to just focus a little bit. I want to preach a few messages on living in the dark. Now, I'm not going to preach them all right now, okay? So you can relax. You say, well, how many will it be? Well, I've got three planned out. And you say, well, is that all? I don't know. We'll see, okay? Amen. And I may preach both of the next ones the next time I preach. I don't know, you know? So we'll just wait and see. Now, I say that, but I also remind you, I have preached against getting used to the dark.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
And now, there is a difference between getting used to the dark.
Amen.
And learning to live in the dark, all right? Learning to live in the dark. I'm still against getting used to the dark. I don't think we should. We mustn't get used to the spiritual darkness and adjust our lives to that darkness.
Amen.
You do that, you begin to live a dark life. You begin to live a life that is away from God. Now, we're to stand for God. We're to give as much light as we possibly can. We're to let our light shine. We're not to adjust to the dark. We're not to drop to the standard of the world, okay?
Amen.
We're to live on God's standard, not down here on the world's standard, All right? You hear them talking about dumbing down. Dumbing down. I think we have dumbed down the schools a great deal.
Oh, yes.
We've done that. We see it. We quit failing people because that hurts them. All right? If you fail. I mean, I've even heard of people saying, we don't use red marks anymore because those are discouraging. Hey, listen, what a goofy way to look at it,
yes,
all right?
On,
hey,
bro.
I don't want to dumb down Christianity.
No, sir.
I don't want you to lower your standard. I want you to keep that standard. Do your best to rise to meet God's standard, okay? Live His way. But at the same time, there's some truths that we need to realize that can help us when we're forced to live in the darkness of this world. There's some Bible truth. That first truth is this. When you're living in darkness, light becomes priceless.
Amen.
Priceless. Just, hey, we don't appreciate the light during the day. We don't worry about it. We don't even think about it. We take it for granted, all right? Sun shining bright, we just take it for granted. Even on a cloudy day. We take the light for granted. We don't worry about it. But at night, when you're there at home, and especially in the storm, especially in the storm, the electricity goes off and the lights go out, light suddenly becomes very precious. Very precious. Now, we live in the city. And living in the city, it's hard to know what physical darkness is because there's always light shining.
Right.
If you come down to my house, there's two lights out in the front that run all night long, and there's one in the backyard, okay? That's so the varmints will be able to see when they come to my yard, all right? But we're used to light. We're used to light. And when our lights go out, I was going through the messages on my phone at home. I think there was 35 that I hadn't listened to. By the way, if you call me, it'd be wise to call me on my cell phone. Because the stuff I get on my home phone is, biggest part of them are scams.
Right.
You know, they're going to issue a warrant for your arrest. And, you know, if you don't take care of this, or... So I don't necessarily check those messages. If you do call the home phone number and nobody answers, don't just hang up, start talking. I may be sitting in the recliner right there, okay? But I'm not getting up to answer the phone when it's a machine, all right? So I was going through them, and one out of those 35 calls, there was one from a real human being. And there's a fellow that I know that lives down here on Twin Oaks Drive. And he called me and he said, I was just calling to see if you had electricity. And I thought, it's probably 2 weeks ago. There's no reason for me to call him now and tell him I do, I don't think. So, but you see, what happens is we get concerned when the lights go out.
Yep.
Hey, because when you're living in the dark,
right,
light is priceless.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Light is priceless. Boy, it you need it. You want it, okay? Now, where does that light come from? 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 29 says, "For thou art my lamp,
yes,
O Lord,
amen,
and the Lord will lighten my darkness."
Amen.
Hey, there's where the light comes from, all right? When we're talking about light, I'm not talking about the kind you get when you flip a switch and hope the electricity's on, all
right?
I'm talking about that light that comes from God, okay? Take your Bible, Proverbs or Psalms chapter 18, all right? The 18th Psalm, if you will. Psalms 18. I want you to look at one verse with me. We're talking about that light that comes from God. Psalm 18, verse 28. Psalm 18, verse 28. The Bible says this, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness."
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but Almost 60 years ago now, when I got saved as a 9-year-old boy, the Lord turned on the light in my life, all right? He lit up the darkness that was there, all right? And I go to him now for light. Why? Because the more dark things get in this old world, the more precious the light of God becomes to me. That light from him becomes priceless, all right? You cannot pay enough to get it, to enjoy the light that he gives you. It is so precious, all right? You say, well, wait a minute. Where does it come from? Does it just illuminate your mind somehow? Or is there some aura that glows around you? Well, of course not. So where does that light come from? Psalms 119. Turn there, if you will. Psalm 119. Now, if you're familiar with Psalms 119, you know where it comes from, all right? This whole chapter is about the Word of God. Psalm 119, but I want you to look at verse 105. Man, you've heard it. You've heard it preached from. You've heard it quoted. But here it is. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, when I start talking about the light of God, yeah, he turned the light on in my life, and he gives me light today, and I get it right here. Right here. It comes out of his book, okay? The Word of God, that's where it comes from. We need that light to shine on our path that we're going to walk, all right? We need that light, and God gives it to us. We, as I said, we live in an increasingly dark world, and that dark world, this whole book becomes priceless. Priceless, because everything you see and everywhere you go, you see that darkness come out. And oftentimes we go, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure which way to go. Man, we need the light. We need the light. Years ago, we were traveling from Fort Worth, driving to Vidalia, Georgia. And I don't remember now which one of my kinfolks, as one of my aunts, had passed away. And I was still a kid living at home. My brother and I both were, and we were driving back, Mom and Dad, and Dad was driving, and we got in Columbus, Georgia. And man, it was foggy. I mean, that kind of fog that you can feel, all right? And it was nighttime to complicate matters, and boy, it was dark, and you know, if you turn on the lights and you can't see, you want to turn on the bright, the high beams, and you can see even less in fog. So we turned down the low beams, And to make it worse, there was construction. Right. Hey, if you're driving down the road and you don't need anything else, you can at least watch the white line.
Right. Amen.
There was no white line. You said, well, look at the edge of the pavement. There was no pavement.
That's right.
Wow. I mean, they had dug it up. We were on dirt.
Right.
And we got to a place, and my dad, he was driving. I was glad he was, you know,
yes,
but
sir.
While I was awake and looking around, we had no idea where to go. We just stopped. Could not tell. It was dark, foggy. And we waited. We just sat there. Thankfully, somebody that was familiar with that construction in that area drove around us. And my dad said, I hope he knows where he's going because I'm following him. And he could see those red lights on the back of his car, the taillights. And we followed them until we got back on the road where there was actual pavement, you know.
Right.
Hey, listen, that light is priceless in the dark.
Right.
It's priceless in the dark. The light of the Word of God, God gives it to us. Why? So it's a lamp to our feet.
Amen.
And a light to our path.
Right.
Boy, the world's dark. You wonder what to do. Do what this book says. Get light from this book. Get light from here. You say, I'm not sure what to do. Do what God says.
Amen.
Do what God says. Right. Yeah, but the world says, hang the world, all right? Don't
Amen.
Pay attention to them. Do what God says.
Amen.
Well, everybody else, don't worry about everybody else.
Amen.
Do what God
Amen.
Says.
Amen,
you say, well, I don't see how it's going to work out. You're kind of like we were that night in Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah.
We didn't see how it's going to work out. Be honest with you, it's faith. That wasn't faith in God. It was faith in an unknown driver.
Yeah, right.
And we're going to watch them two taillights. If they had suddenly disappeared, Dad would have stopped.
Yep.
And we'd have got out to see how deep's the ditch you drove into, you know. But thankfully, it didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, God sometimes, he puts that light on our path in this old dark world. Just trust him.
That's right.
Hey, just trust him.
Amen.
Well, I can't see way down there. That's all right. You just need to see right here.
Come on. That's right.
Just keep going where he leads you, all right? In this old dark world, light's priceless, all right? It lights the way. It's the light of the Word of God. Hey, tell you what it'll do. Take your Bible to Job. That's the book in the Bible right before Psalms. Take your Bible there to Job chapter 12, would you? Hey, I'm telling you, light's priceless in the darkness, okay? Just nothing like it. You can do without a lot of things in the dark, but you sure do need light. You sure do need that light. Job chapter 12, look, if you will, down in verse 22. Verse 22, the Bible says, he discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. Now, if you back up in Job, that he's talking about God, okay?
Right.
You back up in that chapter, he's talking about, that's the one, he discovereth deep things out of darkness. But you look at verse 24, he taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way.
Right.
Notice, they grope in the dark without light.
Right.
And he maketh them to stagger like a drunk man.
Right.
Hey, the good thing about light, in the dark, you have that light. Why? It'll keep you from stumbling.
Yeah. Right.
It'll keep you from stumbling. If you just take the light of the Word of God, I want to tell you, in this old dark world, it's easy for us to stumble into sin.
Yeah.
It's easy to stumble into sin. I mean, it's there, and it's dark world, and it seems like, and it does sometimes seem like everybody's doing it. Now, everybody's not, but sometimes it does seem that way. And it definitely seems like, man, I'm in the minority, and maybe I ought to try it. No, you shouldn't. Hey, you stick with the light. You hear me? You stick with the light, it'll keep you from stumbling. The Word of God is so necessary to help us to see and avoid those things in this old world that cause us to stumble. And we need that light. We need that light. That's why this book's priceless for you. It becomes more so all the time. We're not in favor of laying the Bible aside. We're not in favor of using it less. No, we're in favor of using it more.
Amen.
I encourage you, read it more. Why? Because it's so dark. You need this light. You need the light. Help you to not stumble. Tell you something else this old book will do. It's the light of the Word of God that'll comfort you. Have you ever noticed what a comfort it is when all the lights go out and the storm's blowing? You ever notice what a comfort it is if all you can do is find one little candle and light that one single candle? Man, you get it lit and burn it.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, and I still have this lamp. It is a what they call a coal oil lamp, you know, and it had that glass top on it. And when the lights would go out, when we were kids, they'd go through the house looking for that lamp, and they'd go hunt for it. We'd find it. They'd get a match, you know, and try to get it lit. Now, it hadn't been used in who knows how long, all right? So you're trying to get it lit, and you're going through all the trouble to do it, and you get it lit, and it begins to smoke up the chimney, and you have to adjust the wick and all that. By the time you get all that done, light comes back on, all right? But I tell you this, when that light goes off, if all you can do is just light a candle, it's a comfort to just have that little bit of light. That's all the light I have. It's okay, man. I've got a little bit of light.
Yeah,
we've got it. There it is. I want that. Why? It's a comfort about it.
Sure.
Notice what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. These are verses that normally you hear at a funeral. And now, we're not having a funeral today, all right? But I found these verses, what a comfort they are to the child of God. And the Bible says this, and in 1 Thessalonians 4, the last verse in that chapter says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words."
Amen.
Comfort one another with these words. You said, what words is he talking about? Now remember, we're living in a dark day.
Amen.
We're living in a dark day spiritually.
Right.
Come on, if you've got any years on you, you're living in a day and you look around and you can say, I never would have believed I would have ever seen this.
Amen.
Now, you've said that.
Oh, yes, sir.
I never would have believed I would see this, maybe in our country or in my land, or hey, I never would have thought I'd live to see this take place. But we're saying that today.
Yes, sir.
Now, we're not saying it because it's something so wonderful. It's unbelievable.
Exactly.
Many times unbelievable in its wickedness.
Amen.
So how and what words would comfort us? Hey, you back up. All these words, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, wrote it to the church.
Right.
And he said, hey, I just want to tell you this. The Lord's going to come from heaven.
Amen.
With a shout.
Amen.
With the voice of the archangel.
Right.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I just want to tell you something. Those are comforting words.
Amen.
Those are comforting words. I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say, my dad used to say it, he said, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker.
Amen.
Hey, that's the comfort for the child of God.
Right.
Hey, we know this, according to the word of God, it's going to get bad. The Bible said perilous times shall come.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So what are we to do? Wring our hands? Pace around and worry? No! Look up.
Amen.
Look up. Hey, we're in a dark day. Where do we get comfort? Turn on the news. You've got to be kidding. Man, don't do that. It just gets worse every time, you know. We turn the news on now and say, what kind of disaster's taking place today, you know. We don't read it and say, well, get the newspaper. Oh, you got to be kidding. You can't do that. Well, turn on talk radio. No, don't do that. Doesn't matter where you go. I tell you, if you want comfort, you go to this old book right here.
Amen.
You go to this old book right here, and you find out, you know what, doesn't matter how bad it looks, God's still in control.
Amen.
He's still got his hand on the throttle, all right?
Amen.
He's still controlling. He's going to take care of you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He said, hey, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and we're going to be taken out of here. Comfort one another with these words. Now, I'll tell you this, those are comforting words at the cemetery. Those are comforting words. We lay to rest a dear loved one. Man, a friend, there are many of you sitting here. We've stood at the graveside of mom and dad. Some of you, we've stood at the graveside of a husband. Some children, some grandchildren. And you've thought about those words.
Sure.
Boy, they're a comfort.
Yes,
they're a comfort. Hey, that's dark times. Dark times. But we have the promise of God.
Amen.
Have the promise of God. Isn't that a good thing?
Amen.
Hey, in the darkness, the light becomes priceless.
Yes,
there's no better light than right here. I'll tell you something else. Take your Bible again. Let's go back to Psalms 119, all right? Go back to Psalms 119. There's something else about that light that's good when you're living in the dark, all right? Psalms 119. Now I want you to drop down and look at verse 130. Psalms 119, verse 130. Haven't you said, boy, I never would have believed I would have seen what I'm seeing. I just can't understand what's going on. Psalms 119, verse 130.
Right.
The entrance of thy words giveth light.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It giveth understanding unto the simple.
Right.
The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Oh, man. You said, you look around, you see the darkness of this day. And you see it and you think, my word, what's going on?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Read the book.
Come on.
Read the book.
There it is.
Hey, it's ignorance of this book
yeah. Come on, brother.
That causes people to be deceived
yes,
by
sir.
The darkness.
Amen.
Ignorance of this book causes folks to be deceived. Hey,
right.
We don't recognize the work of Satan for what it is and what he's up to if we don't know something about what this book
Amen.
Says.
Right.
We don't know something about we listen to some person that's been in school for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even has a PhD.
Sure.
All right. Now, I heard one guy say that stands for post hole digger. But I don't know. All right. But you see some guy and he's got this big degree and he gets up and tries to explain to you why, hey, what you're seeing is normal and it's okay. And it's just something. I heard this week on the radio, fella playing, that some kid in a school talked about a child molester. Mentioned and called someone a child molester. And the teacher in a high school in the state of Texas corrected that student and said, wait a minute now. That's a minority attracted person. A minor attracted person. That's MAP. In other words, that's just another normal part of person who just is attracted to minor. That's not a person. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's the PhD talking.
Yes, sir.
That's the educator talking, but it's a Bible denier talking.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
Listen, you get this book to help you understand what's going on. You understand this book. This book gives you understanding and enlightenment, so in the darkness you can see that is the working of Satan.
Amen.
That is the devil at work. It's not normal. It's not to be accepted. It's not to be condoned. It is to be condemned. It is to be resisted. Why? Because the light of this book says it is. All right? Hey, it's this book that helps us to understand the darkness.
Amen.
Understand the darkness.
Yes, sir.
Listen, can I say this to you? We have the light. Here it is.
Amen.
We have the light.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how dark it gets, won't affect the light. The light's still true. Now, the question for me and you is, what are we going to do with the light? What are we going to do with the light? Can I just give you a few things and we'll be done and you can take me out to eat, okay?
Amen.
Few things. Number one, treasure the light.
Amen.
Treasure the light. I said, when it's dark, light's priceless. Hey, we need to treasure this book.
Amen.
Treasure.
Amen.
It is the only way you and I have to ward off the darkness that's surrounding us. This book right here. Don't let anybody tamper with that light.
Amen.
Don't let anybody start fooling around. Hey, I've got some flashlights at home. Are your grandkids, or maybe your kids, are they like mine? Brightest day, they find a flashlight. They want to turn it on and go through the house. You know. So now here's what I did. I bought every one of my grandkids a flashlight for Christmas. Say, there's your light. You can play with it while you're here. Leave mine alone.
Amen.
So they've all got their flashlight.
Amen.
And they all have one. But I won't let them play with my flashlight because when I need it, I want it to work.
Amen.
What's more infuriating? The lights go off. So you walk into the next room and out of habit, flip the switch.
Yes,
and go, well, son of a gun, they're off in here too. You know why? And then you're groping around and you find your flashlight. You're able to lay your hand on it, you mash the button, and the stupid thing's got dead batteries in it.
Yes, sir.
Infuriating. So I don't let them play with it, all right? Don't let them tamper with it. Hey, by that same principle, I'm not going anyone, let anybody try to take away this old King James Bible away from me, because it's got the light, okay? It has the light. In the dark day in which we live, this got the light, folks. This got the book. It'll keep me from stumbling. It'll keep you from stumbling. It'll light the path that you need to walk for you, for me too. Hey, it'll help you understand the darkness. It'll comfort you in the dark. I'm going to treasure this light. We need to treasure the light, okay?
Amen.
Treasure the light. Not only that, get in the light. Get in the light. He said, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? I mean, read it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, sir.
Read it. Right. Y'all notice the flashlight won't do you any good in the dark if you just leave it sitting on the shelf?
Right.
Doesn't help you.
Well,
when the lights go out, you go hunting around for it, and you pick it up, and you mash the button.
Yep.
You don't go, don't worry, it's okay, we have a flashlight.
Yeah.
Well, where is it? I'm not real sure. But we have one, so don't worry, we have light.
Right.
Well, I'm still in the dark, and I can't see. I told you we have a flashlight.
Right.
Now, if you were in the house with somebody like that, you'd be looking for a place to move to, all right? Or to move them.
Right.
Hey, we've got this old book.
Yes.
But you need to get in the light.
Amen.
You need to read it. You need to not only read it, you need to meditate on what you read.
Right. Correct.
You need to let it, you get in it, and let it get in you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Read it, all right? Hey, walk in the light.
Amen.
1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hey, we've got this old book. We need to treasure it, but we need to get in the light, all right? You need to open up and read it. We encourage you to read the Word of God. We don't just say, now wait till Sunday, bring your Bible with you, and we'll read it together.
No, sir.
I want you to read it at home. Preacher, I can't read. Good news. Good news. You live in the day of technology. You can buy it, and
yes,
people
sir.
Will read it to you.
That's right.
Some of you have even got it on your phone, and your phone reads it to you.
Amen.
Brother Charles does, because he can't read, all right?
Amen.
Now, some of you are looking for the illustrated version. I know you are, all right? You want pictures. Hey, I'm telling you, get in the light, all right?
Yes,
get in the light. Next thing you do is trust that light.
Yes, sir.
Trust that light. You say, why do you say that? Because the world tries to tell you it's outdated. The world says, oh, man, that old ancient book. Yeah, that ancient book. That ancient book still got the light. That ancient book is still the light. The world tries to discourage you from it. Or the world tries to come along and say, oh, we got a better light today. You know, nowadays they're phasing out the incandescent bulbs so we can all have LEDs. Okay, whoopee. All right. Wonder what they'll phase out and replace the LEDs with. I don't know. All right. And they try to tell you it's better light, better light. Not getting in that argument. I'm going to tell you there is no better light than this light. There is no better. You can boil down. The oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. All right. Everybody is pretty much in agreement that this oldest book, and according to what I've got right here, it was written about 1,500 years before Christ was born. That's 3,500 years old. Can I say this to you? In the 3,500 years since this old book was written, Job was written, all of man's wisdom, all of man's work, all of man's effort has never been able to come up with better light than you can get from this book right here. There is no better light, okay? Trust what the Bible says. Trust what the Bible says. Look, you can get advice everywhere. Used to, we'd read the paper for Ann Landers or Dear Abby. Okay? We don't... both of them died, okay? So all the wisdom died with them, okay? Now, there are some places they repeat their articles, all right? But I just want to tell you, hey, some people read there for wisdom. Maybe they had some good advice. On occasion, they may have. I'm going to tell you, you can trust this book. Sometimes, Dear Abby gave some real dumb advice. Sometimes Ann Landers gave some real dumb advice. Sometimes you can listen to Dr. Phil, and you're not going to get the best advice. Hey, you can listen to Oprah. She'll give you advice, but I just want to tell you, hey, don't go to Oprah to ask how to raise your kids. She ain't never had any, all right? Don't know nothing about it. Hey, I'm just telling you, you can trust this book. You can trust this life. Trust what it says. It'll help you. It will help you when the word of man leaves you hanging. This book. This book. Hey, when it's really dark, the light becomes priceless. Priceless. What else should we do? We're to spread the light. We're to spread the light. We're to let people know, all right? We're to let people know. The Lord Jesus Christ told us when he was here on the earth, he said, I'm the light of the world. But now he turns around and he said, you're the light of the world. But the only light we've got is what we've got here. It's only light. We're to spread that light. It's a good thing. Now, you want to be popular? You want to be popular? You get in the crowd and they've got an argument going back and forth. Just jump up and say, well, the Bible says. You'll find yourself, they won't invite you next time, all right? Man, that narrow-minded dude believes the Bible. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm that narrow-minded guy that believes the Bible. And I can't tell you how many people I've known down through the years that ignored what this book said. And my soul, did they have a hard time. Because they stumbled in darkness. They stumbled in darkness. You know what happened? They got skin up. They got beat up. There was a lady that used to come to our church. She since passed away. Ms. McFarland was her name. Ms. McFarland, very faithful, very faithful. She never missed, never missed. Lived over in Diamond Hill. And I could take you to the house. And but that lady, one day I saw her, and man, she was bruised. She had terrible, terrible bruise on her face. And I was really worried. I was really worried that somebody, and maybe one of her children, had done that to her. And I asked her about it. She said, no, I was walking through the house at night, and I ran into the door. Ran into the door. Hey, now hear me. He said, what's that illustration? That's what happens spiritually. It's what happens to those people when you would say to them, well, the Bible says, I don't want to hear what the Bible says. Yeah, that's why they go through life bruised, battered, beaten, and scarred, because they've forsaken the light. I'm saying to you, we can spread that light. Spread that light. Hey, what are we going to do with it? We're going to treasure it. We're going to treasure it. We're going to get in it. We're going to get in it. We're going to trust it. We're going to spread it. But maybe you're here, and what you need to do is come to the light. You need to come to the light. You've stood out there. You've walked in darkness long enough. You don't understand. You've never come to the one who is the giver of life. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to come to the light. You need to come to the light. You need to come to Him. You just need to step out by faith. Come to the light. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you this. We'll help you with it. In just a moment, we're going to have invitation time. We're going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a song of invitation. We'll sing Just As I Am without one plea. He said, how do you know? Because I just told him that's what we're going to sing. All right? We're going to sing Just As I Am without one plea. I'm going to step down. I'll stand right there. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm not the light. But if you'll walk down here and come to me, I'll have somebody introduce you to the one who is the light. Would you come? Would you come? Hey, Christian, you're sitting here. You've got the light. If you're walking in darkness, it's your fault. Your fault. You quit trusting this old book and started listening to some worldly philosopher. Go back to the book, all right? Trust this light. Get in this light. Hey, you have the opportunity, and what are you going to do with the light? Boy, I hope you'll come to the one that's light. You'll trust it. You'll get in it. Let in it get in you. And you'll treasure the light. What are you going to do? Would you stand this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed? Stand together and we have a word of prayer as the song leader comes. We're going to have the invitation time. You say, preacher, I'm saved, so I don't need to come. Wait a minute, you're saved, you may need to come. You may need to spend a little time here at the altar. Maybe you need to come to the Lord. Maybe there's somebody needs you to pray for them. Needs you to call their name in prayer. They need some light. Hey, whatever you need is, if you're here this morning and never been saved, would you come to the light today? Would you do that? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for this book. Lord, it does throw light on this old dark world in which we live. It's got the answer to help us understand these times. And Lord, it's got the comfort we need. It's got the direction, the light for our path. Lord, I pray you'd help us to value it. We'd see how priceless it is. We'd get in it. We'd treasure it. We'd listen to it. We'd do what it says. Lord, help us to do that. If there's one here never been saved, would you help them to come today and trust the Savior? First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.